Welcome back to another episode of Parallel Barking. I'm Ariana Backer here with my co-host.
Larry Becker, bark, bark.
Oh, woof, woof. My apologies.
You
How could
see, and that is the reason we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today, because your brain just misfires.
It misfired, and I do need a
An implant.
brain computer interface,
But
otherwise known
I get the control.
otherwise known as a BCI. You people listening to this might be familiar with Elon Musk's new company, Neuralink.
New company has been around, what, since 2016, 2015 or something?
Okay, that could be newish.
Yeah, if you're Mother Earth.
Well, his company just got FDA approval to conduct experiments on human or conduct human trials.
Human trials, right? Don't make it sound like some kind of lurid 1940s movie about a mad scientist trying to control the world by putting electrodes into their brain.
But that is the most fun. Okay, but first, let's explain a little bit about what brain computer interfaces are, although it is kind of self-explanatory.
No, it is not robot control operator number two.
Some it's also known as a smart brain, but it is a
As opposed to
communication.
the brains that we have.
We don't know. They can be, we can make ourselves smarter with a pathway inserted into our brains.
We can make ourselves happier with fentanyl too, and see what that's done.
It's a pathway between our brain's electrical activity and an external device.
Yeah, we're being naysayers,
Like a
but
robot.
right,
It's
we're being
usually a
naysayers,
robot.
but
Or it
if you
could be
really have
like
good,
a
it
robot
has some good
limb.
uses.
A robot limb. Like a robot limb. Like if you've lost something, if you've lost a limb, an arm, there are new technologies that allow you, your brain to communicate with that arm. So
Oh, okay, so what you're talking about is an implanted device with a bunch of electrodes or
yeah.
some. But that will make up for body deficiencies. So, for example, if you are paralyzed, or if you've lost motor function, it
Yes,
could.
yes, yes,
Oh,
yes, yes. They're
okay.
repairing human cognitive or sensory motor functions. They're assisting, augmenting, it's like mapping out that which was once there.
Okay, so is it
They're
like a is it
neuroprosthetics. That's
All
what
right.
they're called.
But is it a like an ADT system, a what's it called? Or oh, the poor older lady in the commercial, she's fallen down and she can't get up and she presses a button and someone
No, it
comes.
just happens. It just happens as if your brain, you think it, and then you.
So it's self-contained as
Yes.
opposed to it being controlled externally.
It's direct brain control of those prosthetic devices.
You mean your own brain's control, not someone else's brain
Your
control?
self-directed brain control.
Okay. And
So, but these Neuralink, what the difference is between the Neuralink devices and what we're talking about, neuroprosthetics, are that it's just a little different because the I guess the thought behind it is the same, or it's in the same vein, trying to cure things like Alzheimer's and
Oh, so we're moving from prosthetics to actually rewiring the brain or creating a brain interface substitute. So far
Yes.
you've described three things. One is I've lost a limb, I've now got a prosthetic limb, and I can move the prosthetic limb myself as if it were my own limb. And then the second thing you've talked about is, I've been in an accident, a spinal cord injury. I can't use my legs anymore. this will allow me to bypass that so I can control my legs again. I'm just giving an example. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing was I've actually lost my brain's ability to relate consciously to stimuli around it in the traditional way. And that, you know, this is like Alzheimer's or other cognitive diseases or conditions would then be overcome by effectively rewiring the brain so that you can retain or recapture areas of the brain that you've otherwise lost. And kind of, as they used to say with George III in The Madness of King George, you can become yourself again.
Yes. Actually, one of the things that was specifically said about Neuralink is that it has the capacity to rewind memories or download them into robots.
Oh, wait, no, now you're moving into four. So I want to do the happy part first.
Okay.
Before we do the crazy part. All right. So the happy part and the reason I would hope that people are pouring a lot of money into this is that it would enhance and indeed create a much better life for a huge range of conditions that are otherwise now tragically unalterable.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
But the thing that makes that somewhat less ethically charged or less charged in terms of what it means for the way in which we order our social relations is that while it's being implanted in you by someone else, you're still in control.
Yes.
The person into whom the implant has been placed is still in control. So that's one large category. But now you've moved into magical land, or we've moved from the History Channel or the Social Science Channel into either the Horror Channel or sci-fi.
Well, I bet you there are some that might consider that therapeutic.
Yeah, everything is therapeutic, depending
on... Yes, and isn't that important?
Someone like me to remake the definition. I can make anything, I can define anything any way you like, as long as you pay me enough money, or you pay me enough money to keep my mouth shut.
You love therapy.
Yes, therapeutic. It's, yeah, whatever you want to call it. Death is life. Liberty is slavery. We've been down this road, but that's not where I'm going. I want to do the horror TV sci-fi channel version of this, which is the doorway you just opened. So I want to push you through it. So now you say that in addition to all of this stuff, which is what's going on, the Dutch guy who could start walking, there's an Australian company that is also competing with Musk's company. The big news is that the Americans are now finally on board by giving Musk the ability to do human trials, even though they were tragic. Right. So beyond America jumping in, right. And there, of course, we had the issue. There's a side ethical issue, but another podcast about animal testing. There was some tragic thing that happened with some pigs that were being used. But in any case, with respect to all of this stuff, it's all good and positive. We'll work out the bad things and the like. But I want to go to the science channel, horror channel part that you just mentioned, which is the part where you're able to upload or download anything through or by this chip. That's what you meant, right?
Yes.
That's the next thing. All right. And if that's the case, so I want to be a horror director, although now I'm ripping off, as you will see, some movies. Does that mean that I could actually put in the implant and then put in a little plug so that I can plug myself into some other major computer that would then manage what is in my head?
I cannot speak for the plans of Neuralink, but of the device itself is brain-computer interface. So if the device is computer-like.
Yeah. But right now, so there's two different kinds. So you're either got, I've got my laptop and I have my internet off. Then it's just me and my laptop in an intimate relationship. And if me and my laptop have Bluetooth, then we have an intimate relationship with other kinds of devices that are also intimately connected to me. And I know that the analogy is terrible, but this is as good as we're going to get for the moment. What we're talking about here is not that. We're going to turn the internet on, and now all of a sudden, I can receive and download. And let's say the internet, now this machine isn't just me looking at a screen, but it's helping me move or helping me recall things or helping me, as you said, use my brain as a smartphone where I've run out of space because I've taken 30,000 pictures of nothing in particular. I need to put those pictures somewhere. They're my memory triggers. And so now I can empty it off there. And then at some point I can go back and retrieve something. Or there's a healthy dialogue between those who have the capacity to offer me all kinds of things that I could input into my brain and me and my brain. So I want to think about I can't go to Tahiti this year. I'm thinking of a name things. I can't go to Tahiti this year, but for some price, you can implant Tahiti memory vacation images, and then I'll feel really refreshed, and all I would have had to do was sleep for 5 or 6 hours, or worse. And of course, then you spin this out. That's the G version, the R and X version of this, or what is it, the NC-17 version?
Oh.
Is the, you know, whoever is running the master computer,
mm-hmm.
Or the, you know, whatever. Now all of a sudden you have given in ways that we've sort of given ourselves to as a society from time to time, but it's been old school. Now we're going to do this seamlessly. We are giving ourselves off to some third party, and I guess you can kiss your autonomy goodbye.
Well, I mean,
you're not being real. You should be saying no.
We don't want to obviously give our autonomy away. I mean, there's a very good point.
Why not? What is autonomy good for? This is paraphrasing that song. Autonomy. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
We wouldn't have to make decisions. We wouldn't have to feed ourselves.
We could feed ourselves, but we could be told to feed ourselves, and we could be made to feel good all the time. Or we can be made to do all kinds of things depending on who it is. And it's even better if you have a central control, which is an AI program, a self-generative program that isn't connected to us with no back doors. Now, all of a sudden, this is a sci-fi movie we've already seen, if I recall correctly, or at least several versions of this movie.
It almost called Neuralink, that movie? No.
And there are a number of variations of this thing. And I know we don't have the capacity to do this yet, and we aren't going to link in. But my interest is, you'd mentioned before we started that there is already probably groups of not, you know, people like me who walked Jerusalem when Jesus was there, but younger people who I would view this with a little bit of horror. To put it mildly, but younger people, apparently there's at least some group, and who knows, maybe people in my own demographic too, who think that this is not such a bad idea at all. And look forward to the day they can plug them, you know, they plug their car in to charge their batteries, they can plug their brain in for a redo.
Yeah, being plugged into the system. Being perpetually plugged in.
But that's even more different, because that presupposes that, in fact, when we do plug in, when this thing is perfected, is whatever that means, that there'll still be a brain computer barrier that will allow some autonomy, that is, some choice in what goes in and what goes out. My scenario is why do we even presume that one can, even if one starts this way, that that's where it's going to end up, that there will always be some method for controlling the, once you link in, we're going to have variations, I think, of the hysteria that we've had, for example, with respect to the infection of the social sphere with fake news and viruses and all of this stuff. So So when we look at it from that perspective, when you move from a system that is limited to your shell, right, your body, even though you may be receiving some inputs from somewhere else, is a very different kind of thing than when you're looking at a not just that kind of thing, but you're looking at connectivity, which is now not done through the internet on a machine, a piece of hardware, but that the piece of hardware is now in your brain and right. can access directly your brain, bypassing, I suppose, everything, including, this sounds weird kind of thing. There'll be no superego anymore. And there'll be no gatekeeper other than whatever is transmitted in.
So you're talking about worry about virus and virus protection. Virus protection is going to get very expensive.
No. Who cares about that? I mean, we're all, by that point, it doesn't really matter because we're not going to be conscious of it, except to the extent that when we plug in, we're told to be conscious of it. I'm talking about autonomy, which is a very delicate and fragile thing even today. And all we have is old school structural effects on autonomy and autonomous decision making. But what happens when, in fact, you can control your own reality, a bespoke kind of controlling of reality? There's all kinds of things that make this very interesting. One, on the one hand, at one extreme, what we can do is make sure that everyone, right? I've just finished a conference on semiotics where we're looking at collective meaning making. At one end of the spectrum, when you take that to its limit, you can say, okay, so now we solve the problem of argument over first principles. Because once someone decides what our core first principles are, what is the purpose of society? What is the purpose of social relations? How is this all supposed to be ordered? Yeah, clicky, clicky, clicky. To the extent you're capable of doing this, you set it up in some kind of feed or instruction loop, and then boom, into your head. And now everyone's got the same set of collective meaning for things. And so you can substantially control and stabilize society and culture along those lines. On the other hand, you can have it on the other extreme, which is that's the control freaky one. On the other hand, you can have it at the anarchic, not chaotic, anarchic one, where in fact, what you do is there's no judgment made. That is, that collective meaning making isn't done but through these inputs. But instead, what's going to happen is your brain is going to look like the internet, which is just flooded with all of it. And then you can sit and customize whatever it is that you want to sit and customize, from the way in which you perceive the world to your data sources,
and
to everything.
That's what else I think is going to happen. Like, what I mean to say is that is what makes the most sense. It doesn't make sense to me that that the companies would create processes that would make it legal for them to take over someone's consciousness. I don't think that would be permitted legal. I don't think they could get away with doing that.
Which is why you are an optimist and I am the opposite of an optimist. I'm not even a pessimist, because my sense is when you put that kind of potential power in the hands of the kinds of people that are running around the world today, and they're great examples of the kind of people that have been running around the world for the last 30,000 years.
Well, especially when
my
you have
money would be
old
on,
ninnies running around like you, yelling about it like this, ninnies. It's not going to happen.
It will happen. That's why we're talking about it.
Right. We have to talk about it to mitigate these types of circumstances, right?
And I'm with you on that.
This is the direction we're going.
It's but I'm telling you, we are happening. A microcosm. We're a microcosm here, because if we were the ones who are sitting in the table with the power to do this, you would be that nice person who says, flood them and let's all be free. And I'm going to cue in the soundtrack to Hair, and we can do a round of The Age of Aquarius. Whereas I would sit there and go, oh, yay, 4 billion people who I can get to do exactly
what I want. No, everybody should be their own little mitochondria of their own cells and control the in, the out. Like, who gets to go? Oh, wait, no, the mitochondria, they're the powerhouse. I don't know.
God, do you mean the mitochlorian? And we're now in the Star Wars. Yeah, the force is strong in us, and literally in this case, because we're going to be plugged in. No, but it's that possibility. We're clearly playing, but it's that possibility. Once you can attach yourself, and you don't need a plug, everything is done. And this is already, the technology is already present, using, what do you call it? Bluetooth. Or some kind of connectivity, right? That we're already lumbering towards that kind of connectivity. You don't need to put a plug in your head. We already have something like that available, and we've been lumbering towards this for a number of years. I remember the big scandal, 10 or 15 years ago, when I think it was a Swedish company decided they were going to put a chip in their employees. It was basically a credit card. So that they could, or for rail tickets, I forget what it was, but then everyone was flipping out because essentially with that little chip in, you could follow them the way you can follow your phone. And then it didn't matter, because then we realized, oh my God, you really can follow us because we're all holding our phones. So why are we worried about a stupid chip? That just makes it easier for you not to yank out your wallet when you want to buy some crackers at the company store or get on a train. Right. So that we've been lumbering towards this for a while. We were worried about surveillance before, but given this leap, the neural leap, one begins to ask the question you asked, which is, shouldn't we be talking about not this ethics stuff that the people who are paid to kind of wring their hands, but let this thing go forward are doing, because it's all performance. But the really deep discussion about what it is we're doing, understanding that there is tremendous value in one aspect of it, but that there's tremendous uncertainty in the other. And given the human condition, I know way too many control freaks and way too many neurotic or perhaps psychotic control freaks not to worry about this.
Yes.
That, you know, for every flower child hippie, there's three people who will march in and disabuse them of their hippiness.
Well, and we should treat, you know, everybody's... I don't understand why it should be any different than someone's financial freedom. You're not allowed to just dip into somebody's account. Why should you be allowed to dip into somebody's brain?
You're not, no, because you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. This is finally, Satan has managed to come. Now I'm using the old school terminology, right? You don't need that.
But I think people should be allowed to reach out to themselves.
And what if themselves is a person who's really into cannibalism?
They can look that up all they want. They can look up cannibalism to their heart's content.
Oh, I see. You're thinking about this like Encarta. For those of you who are old enough to remember Encarta.
An encyclopedia.
Yeah. That's a 1960s sci-fi show, but we're in 2023. To the extent that you make this absolutely passive, that basically you're looking at, okay, so I can go into all the world's resources and
libraries. With your logic, you're saying that people who want to look up or who are interested in cannibalism, they shouldn't even be allowed to access the internet.
No, well, no, that's different. That's a different conversation. No, what I'm linking two things, and you're absolutely right, and I'm 100% with you. But here's my problem, which is why we started with Mr. Musk and all those other people's Neuralink, and why my eyebrows raised. It's where you can control the way in which you use your brain, your own consciousness, right? This is the Alzheimer thing.
It's the
The
direction of the
potential,
flow of data.
right? The potential then is not to reach outward merely to get information, right? The world is your encyclopedia kind of thing, and you can look stuff up and all of this, but actually then to reshape the way in which you see, perceive, understand the world and its imperatives, and the way in which you manifest, understand, and act on desire, right? And if we're talking about a two-way street, not just you going and looking up how many, now I know the 10,000 varieties of orchids, hooray, I can die happy. But if in the process of doing that, what comes back is also a question, well, do you want to reshape your mind so that now you're doing nothing but obsessing about orchids and you're going to do nothing but spend the rest of your life growing orchids? This is an insanely stupid example, but you see where I'm going with
Well,
this.
that's someone's that's their prerogative.
Yeah, that's their prerogative. And then the question is, so I'm really, Mr. X is really, really interested in living in Cannibal Island. Cool. And so we're gonna not just go to Encarta, the world is our Encarta. Sorry, these are 1980s references. To look up information. But now I can also ask them to reprogram my head or to allow my neural networks to reshape not just memories going forward, but proclivities moving in that direction.
Make
So
me
that I,
hunger for human meat. Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
yeah. And of course, the nice side of this thing is, wow, okay. So in a sense, this is a great thing because you'd argue, oh my God, we've got so many people who have psychological problems, including very dangerous people who are on the street because we don't know what to do with them, and medicating them hasn't been very successful. It's been about as successful as locking them up a century ago. Wow. So we can reprogram their heads as not just Alzheimer's people, but as people with all kinds of psychological or psychiatric conditions. And that's where you eat the tree, the apple from the tree of knowledge without worrying about good or bad, because the minute you begin doing that, I can do two things. I can define a psychiatric condition as you disagreeing with me, and therefore you are now in you have a pathology. We're moving in that direction. Certainly the Soviets were.
Okay, well,
And then we can say, well, if we have the technology and we're doing that, then why can't I just go in and reprogram myself?
it takes a lot to get into to be classified as an official condition in the ASM.
Today, these things are a matter of convenience, and when it's been convenience and there's enough social pressure, these things will change. There's no assurance of anything, is what I'm suggesting.
Yes, you're right. I mean,
And
and that's why we should, talk about these things and
aha, exactly right. That's why we should, but the time to talk about it is not after we have a kind of human cyborg army. Of what's it called? This I'm going back to Star Wars again. Forgive me. I'm in 1980s and 90s hell.
what is wrong with you?
I just can't seem to get out. Plug me in so that I can move into a
Yeah, that
different
is what you
decade.
need. You
Oh
need
my
to
God! But the what's it called? The clone army, so that we can do the Clone Wars. If that's a little late to then start talking about, oh yeah, I have some qualms about this technology and its use. Maybe we should talk about it. No. But of course, no one is doing that now because, and this is again the human condition, because for the moment we think two things, one, three things. One, we don't have the technology to do it today anyway, so we can put it off of tomorrow. That's number one. Number two is that, look, what we're really focusing on is really good, cool things. And you can't argue with that. It is really cool to get a quadriplegic person to walk. It is really cool to get an Alzheimer's person to remember. It is really cool to be able to use these things to cure psychiatric conditions. The third thing, of course, is we say, we know ourselves and we can create all of the safeguards that we need that we never have to really go and ask these hard questions because it'll never happen. And that's what we tend to do. And in fact, when you look at the discussion today, the discussion is all about, and you were leading off with this, which just sent chills down my spine. It's still my spine for the moment. Mm-hmm. Right? I know. This is like 1950s. If I feel a pain, I just take a pill, a magic pill, and everything will be fine. The equivalent of that today is, there's this issue. I know what we can do. We can legislate. Well, legislation, as the medieval people will tell you, is usually not worth the paper it's printed on unless there is significant buy-in or unless you're willing to spend a tremendous amount of money in enforcement.
Absolutely. And how else are you going to do it besides legislation? What's your suggestion?
That's the question. And my answer would be, given the extraordinarily significant potential effects it would have on social ordering, social relations, the human condition, beyond these more primitive aspects, which are all good, that until we have that relatively in hand, we should be extraordinarily cautious about letting these things roam around the earth. That is, we need to slow down, not our theoretical work, but we need to slow down. Because you can't be having these things run around and then say, oh my God, there it is. I guess now's the time to do it. And of course,
you can say that as much as you want. Business is not going to do that.
That is probably true. In which case, make sure you, when you wake up in the morning, because it'll probably be well past my time. Every morning when you wake up, this is like the vampire's kiss. You're going to have to look, not for two little holes in your neck, but you're going to have to look to see if there's a plug somewhere where someone has inserted some stuff. Even worse, if the way it works is that you can eat it, or they'll put it in a nasal spray and then it'll attach somewhere innocuous but hard to get at, like your lungs or your stomach lining. So you don't even have consent anymore about whether you're going to get these things plugged in. Those are the kinds of things that we don't talk about in the flush of glory that is this thing. And by the way, for those who want to have a sense of what this all looks like, one of the potential solutions to the problem of the human condition was described by Isaac Asimov in the Foundation series. One of them, and there were three worlds. One of them was the world of technology. This is the first Foundation. Technology was going to solve all our problems and it was a mess. The second world he posited was the effectively a social credit kind of world, a world of nudging where you can manage you can manage human beings by managing the stimulants that they face and maneuvering them. And that was sort of a disaster as well. And then the third one that he posited, the one that no one reads because it came at the end, was what he called the Gaia experiment. And that is that everyone loses their autonomy and becomes nothing more than a facet of the singularity, which is where you were going, the singularity Gaia. And you are permitted some variation, but only the variation that is permitted within Gaia. And at the end of the day, it almost felt like he shrugged his shoulders and said, well, the only way that you can solve the human condition is by solving the problem of human individuality. And now you're in some very, very interesting waters, especially if you've grown up in the world now, and certainly in the West and in the post in the Enlightenment and post Enlightenment West.
Well, what's interesting about you saying that is the younger generations in the U.S. have a much more communal mindset than the older generations.
Which is why Gaia may be possible. And it may well be that 200 years from now, if someone actually unearths this podcast, they will listen to us and go, oh my God, these people are just, not only are they incredibly primitive, but they just don't get it.
They're out of their minds.
They're out of, and they will literally be right. Or actually what they'd be saying is, oh my God, they're in their mind.
Where are their devices?
Where are their devices? Why aren't they connected? They are crazy people, and they either have to be sent to some other penal planet somewhere where...
This is what happens when you're unplugged, okay?
And I have been called many things. I'm going to have to get used to being called unplugged.
You are way unplugged, okay?
But that is not our problem, but it will be our problem. It ought to be our problem. But you're absolutely right, though, and I've been fighting you on this, and I have to concede, because it's the same thing with all kinds of human endeavors for which there is a strong desire. The cat is out of the bag.
It is.
And technology is a very democratic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyone can now go on the web and teach themselves this stuff. The idea of regulatory control is laughable, except in that closed little loop of, I can't say, oh no, I'm not even going to think about the word I was going to use for it, a system of an interlinked system of the same social or economic or political class. They all think that they're regulating for themselves, but this stuff leaks out all around them and then will eventually overwhelm them. But it's coming, which is why not inside Versailles, our regulatory Versailles, our governments, our high-end think tanks, our snooty self-referencing academies and high-end businesses where people jet around and blah, blah, blah. That's not where this is going to happen. It really, this is a conversation that ought to be had on the peripheries by those people who will take this and will innovate and will move this so that, one, they're not co-opted and then exploited by these large, ruling organs, but two, that they're very mindful about not only the consequences of what they're doing, but to protect it or to guide it or to hurl it, I guess, as a bomb, in being very conscious of what its long-term effects on the human condition may be.
Oh, I totally agree.
Now I'm going to go back to the Hallmark Channel, which I used to call sci-fi. Bark, bark.
Woof, woof. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this time. And we'll
be back to this theme. We have barely scratched the surface, but we thought we'd amuse you at least for an initial foray. If you all have ideas about where this should go, if you all think that we missed something, write us. We would love to dialogue with you and then continue this conversation.
Yeah, parallelbarkingpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up.
Woof, woof.
Bark, bark.